ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Plank and Sal Show with Mark. Celebrating its 10-year anniversary, dominating the podcast world. And now, let's welcome your hosts, Plank and Mark.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Plank and Sal Show with Mark, episode number 489, the final show of 2023. I am your host, Blake. The biggest deal podcasting Sal is off this week, getting ready to celebrate the new year. He'll be back next week's show. But let's bring on my actual co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, Mark. Dad, how you doing?
Doing well, and I hope everyone else is doing as well. I know this is a crazy time of the year, but hey, as long as we can get through it together, that's all that matters.
Yeah, this is going up during that weird week between Christmas and New Year's where, like, nothing matters, but I still have to work every day. So, like, it's fun. So, that's always good to know. But my schedule is all kinds of wonky this week, so it's all good.
Wonky.
That's my word of the month right now, because that's all schedules for the last, like, this whole month of December have been wonky. So, okay. What did we open up the show with? It's actually our longest show intro song in a long time, but what's our song intro song today?
Hey, we opened up with a wonderful rock number from the Canadian group Rush called Tom Sawyer. The reason I picked this out is it was the theme entrance music for Terry Von Erich and World Class Championship Wrestling. The movie of their family, Iron Claw's, out in theaters. Please go see the movie. It is a very emotional movie. The triumphs and the losses of the Von Erich clan in World Class Championship Wrestling.
And if you don't, I'm just saying right now, movie. I will say right now, don't go in if you want to be happy at the end.
bring Kleenex and a handkerchief.
Ay, ay, ay. So, okay, well, we do have a special guest here, and I've been trying to get him on all year during our 10th anniversary, and we got him in just under the wire. Let's bring in from the PW Torch, the one, the only, Rich Fan. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Yes, the job and job change and life change prevented me from making an appearance, but thankfully the elves said a little something to some people and got me here just under the wire.
Yes.
Mark, thank you for having me here. It is a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, Rich. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, always. It's great to have you here. People behind the scenes wondering, yeah, I've been trying literally since all year to get Rich on the show. But like I said, schedule changes, job changes. Our schedule changes because we've been mostly doing afternoon shows because of Sal's schedule. And
the planets aligned. The meteor showers happened. Here we are.
But yeah, what's funny is I'm in the middle of something behind the scenes, and I'm not going to talk about it until we come back after our holiday break. But I'm in the middle of a phase of the show where, like, Rich is on, like, at least four or five, like, every third week, Rich is on the show. At one point, it was actually really funny. So it was like you, Kyle Crane, and I forgot who else, like, three people were rotated. John Parker rotated as guests for, like, the entire year. It was really funny. At a certain point, so. Well, let's not waste any time. Let's get right into things. Dad, I have you down for South Park. So help support the show. Put out platforms you can find the show. That will change soon, by the way. And other projects you work on, including the returning Clerks Minute, at theblakeandsalshow.com. That's
and you
thing.
Can buy our shirts, our hoodies, our stickers, and more from our Tee Public store. Click on a Tee Public link on our website or go to Tee Public and search The Blake and Sal Show. And, hey, I'm asking you right now, did the elves bring in the special items for Christmas, like the Blake and Sal Show stockings, so we can stuff them with stuff?
No, I would love a stocking, but that would just be way too big. The fact that I wear my own T-shirt with my own logo on it sometimes is a little much.
I'm still waiting for a Funko Pop figure of us.
I have one of them from me. I literally have a personalized Funko of me upstairs. I have one. I got another gift.
Of you, but...
I know. Whose name is first in the list? Whose name is first? Shows people love me more. Anyway, this might actually be the last time I say this sentence. Let's get a break. We'll come right back. All right. As always, go pick up Mandy's book, children's book, I Know I Am, available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and RTAP Publishing in English and in Spanish. And coming back in 2024, Mandy, podcasting and the Mandy Show will be back, they promise, beginning of 2024, available at all podcasting platforms. And now in tribute to Sal not being here and Jason Powell, but this is hysterical.
Fuck them kids.
All right. By the way, yes, Rich, we have an updated soundboard.
This is magical.
Well, again, though, because we're not going to be talking about him either, but because this seems to be a weekly thing.
Fuck Cody Rhodes.
All right.
There's the other one. I was wondering, if we take a poll on which soundbite is better, fuck them kids or fuck Cody Rhodes, who do you think would win?
What's funny is that in a couple of weeks, we might be able to put that poll up. That's the funniest part. But anyway.
Fuck them kids.
Let's actually hit this, and we'll...
And now, let's get into the crazy world of professional wrestling!
Alright, so, a few weeks ago, we had told everybody we were not going to be previewing AEW, Hell's Statement of the Show, World's End, because of, obviously, our holiday break, and the card definitely wouldn't be ready by the time we wanted to record the show, even though they're actually doing a better job with that this time than in previous pay-per-views, because it's the holiday week, and they want people to spend money, you might want to announce the card, but still, we're going to be skipping that show, but we will be doing Wrestle Kingdom 18, New Japan's biggest show of the year,
and 18.
Yes, it's the biggest show of the year, and this is a really weird card that we're going to go through. This might be one of the stranger New Japan cards we've seen in a very long time, but because I don't watch, we don't watch everything New Japan, and the two people that come on the show all the time do, Rich is here to help us go through the storyline of New Japan, because I'm confused by some of these matchups anyway. So, Rich knows better than I. Rich
allegedly. Let's just be honest, because you look at this card, I'm going to be honest, Blake and Mark. Some of the stuff I've been watching, and I still don't know how they got
there. That's fantastic. I appreciate your honesty.
Actually, from what I hear, you throw darts at the board, and whatever sticks works.
Jesus Christ. I feel like that was somebody's matches. I really do. Well, okay, so I'm not going to go in the order on Wikipedia. I'm going to go in the order that I felt like putting it together. That's how I do things. Even though the order on Wikipedia is the order of matches that will air on the show. I didn't realize this is the first time I'm going to be able to use the new New Japan app. I'm actually excited about that. I haven't used it yet. So it's the first time.
Oh, there you go.
So, Rich, have you used the New Japan World app? How is it?
Yeah, I used it for the Real World Tag League, and it's really cool. I liked it. In fact, one of our my buddy and Torch subscriber, Kylan Furlow, I convinced him to ask his parents for Christmas to get New Japan World because the app is so much more user friendly on the English side of things.
Cool. Well, I'm going to be using it for the first time, so hopefully it is as good as everyone I've been hearing. Also, one other thing is announcing changes. Who is the play-by-play team for this show, Rich? Because it's not Kevin Kelly anymore.
Oh, God, that I don't know. I know Kevin did his announcement. I knew it was going to be a combination of, it fell out of my head. I hate when this happens.
It's all good. It's all good. I'll quickly look it up myself. But no, it's a big deal. This is the first time. I know the first time I've watched New Japan in a long time that doesn't have Kevin Kelly.
Is Ricky Romero supposed to be on that commentating play-by-play?
So I think it's going to be... Walker Stewart, and so it's gonna Walker is a pretty cool dude. I haven't seen too much of his work from the folks I trust, like Hey Karen Sensei, Karen Peterson over at Post, who I work with. She seems happy, so if she's happy, I'm happy.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'm guessing Kevin Kelly is now on the AEW side of things. Is that it?
Yeah, he's now doing Collision, which he went from hosting Collision to now being Tony Schiavone hosting Collision. But by the way, I think it's a better commentary combination of having Schiavone hosting and then having Kevin Kelly as the color. I think that's better. Personally.
I like that banter between Kevin Kelly and Nigel.
I think it's better. I think it's actually a lot better than it was. Because as much as I was enjoying listening to Wade Keller complain about Kevin Kelly every week, I actually like this better.
Wade can pull his hair out, whatever he's got left.
Oh, give it time. All right.
One fun thing about the new replacement, Walker, he's done, if you've looked at any of the WrestleMania weekend shows, he's done a lot of them for like WWN back in the day.
Oh yeah, I remember those shows. Yeah.
Yeah, so he is now going to be historically the youngest non-Japanese announcer to do the English commentary.
Wow.
Wow.
That's incredible. I knew the name sounded familiar, and I couldn't figure out why. Like, it was one of those things where it's like, I know this name, but I don't know why I know this name. That's why I know it. I remember, back when the... Okay, that makes sense now. Cool. All right, cool. So he wasn't bad. He's not bad at all. That is cool. All right.
21 years old. What were you doing at 21, Blake?
I just got engaged before I moved here. No, 21. Drink. No. 21. 21. My 21st birthday landed on Easter Sunday. And I got drunk with my friends the night before, and I got woken up, and I had the worst hangover for Easter dinner. hangover ever of my life.
You were drinking because you had to celebrate 21 as the Eula drink.
Well, me and one of my best friends, we had our 21st birthdays 4 days apart, so we celebrated it the night before my birthday together.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we were, and I walked home the next morning because safety. And I was blocked from my house, so safety. And I walked home the next morning, finally got to sleep. And then I got woken up at like 1 in the afternoon because everyone was showing up for dinner. And I had to get a shower in before everyone for dinner. I was like, oh, shit, I forgot what day it was.
Shit.
So that was my 21st birthday, so definitely not this.
It's amazing, man.
So, well, then again, look at my background. For me, 25 years old. I had to. So I have my, for people on the audio side, my background is Tommy Cutlets for good old Tommy DeVito. And I had to do it, even though this is on after Christmas, and who knows what it's going to be like after Christmas after the Eagles game. But you know what? I don't care. I honestly do not care.
I'm telling you right now, that young man could probably go anywhere, write his own paycheck, and get it because of how he's doing. Third string quarterback? Not anymore.
Well, sorry. I'm completely diverting what we're talking about. So I'm at the pharmacy today, and I hear the pharmacist talk to these couple in front of me. He's like, well, that Packer game sucked. And this is right after the Packers-Giants game, for those in the timeline wondering when we're recording this. It's right after the Packers-Giants game. And I literally just step back, because I'm wearing a Devils hat. So I literally just step back. And I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying a word. And the pharmacist realized they short my Devils hat, and he's like, oh, you're a Giant fan, aren't you? I just did the Tommy DeVito, the DeVito, as we're calling it now. I did that, and he's like, oh, okay.
It's like, I understand now.
Yep, uh-huh. So, all right, let's go to Japan, Wrestle Kingdom 18. Let's start from the bottom to the top. It's a lot of title matches and then one non-title match. It's important. Let's start right here. Never open weight championship. Didn't even realize this guy was champion, but here he is. Shingo Takagi is over open weight champion, and he's facing Tama Tonga. Didn't even know Shingo was champion, but here we are. Rich, what the hell's going on here? How did Shingo ever get the belt?
Okay, so what happened was Shingo won the belt in, I want to say, a couple of months ago at Fighting Spirit Unleashed.
Okay.
He beat Tama Tonga for it.
Oh, fair enough.
And then he beat Trent Beretta to retain it because AEW was like, here's a body, catch. And after that, Shingo was like, hey, anybody who wants some can get some. And surprise, surprise, the guy he beat for the title said, let's do this at Wrestle Kingdom, which was like, okay, why didn't we just do this at Wrestle Kingdom?
Well, at least that actually makes sense. At least that actually makes sense. That's cool then. So is it as simple as, is there a title change here or is Shingo retaining?
I'm assuming Shingo's going to retain. And some of that really goes into the big... Actually, you know what? Let's take a step back. I think a lot of my predictions are based on the fact Kazuchika Okada re-signs with New Japan.
Okay, fair enough.
If he does not re-sign with New Japan, a lot of this is probably going to change in terms of who gets positive, because I would assume that Shingo may need to jump suddenly into the main event title scene.
Got it. Makes sense. Daddy, are you following suit with Shingo? Because I kind of agree. I don't see a title change here.
I don't see a title change specifically. I don't, unless a storyline changes for some reason, but I don't think so. For a lot to hinge around Okada, it's just one of those, well, let's wait and see what happens, and hopefully, and keep my fingers crossed that he sticks with New Japan. If not,
yeah, we'll get to more Okada later. We'll get to more Okada later. Trust me. Yeah. I have thoughts and opinions, and we'll get to that later.
No, understood.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match. Apparently, the Bull Club War Dogs, Clark Connors and Drill Malone, are the champions.
Wait a minute. We have another split faction from Bullet Club.
Go fig. They're like gremlins. Just don't feed them.
The War Dogs is the, because I remember, because last time I watched, I think it was the G1. So the War Dogs, if I'm right, is the group from Finley. Is this David Finley's group? Okay, just making sure I'm on the same page. I haven't watched the G1. Versus Catch 2, TJP and Akira. When in doubt, go with the Bullet Club, because they cheat everywhere. So I always go with the Bullet Club. Rich?
Yeah, so for this one, the War Dogs basically formed at the expense of Catch 2-2. And so they're looking for revenge because they lost to those guys. And now they want to kind of get their belts back when they didn't realize that Drilla Maloney, which is a name I never thought I would say in a sentence, wasn't going to be aligned with them. And so, yeah. So this is another one where back in the day when the Young Bucks or whoever, or let's say it was Red Dragon World Champs, I'm assuming this might open like they typically
do. Yeah, of course. That's what I was thinking, the same thing. Yeah.
Get the little dudes out of the way. And so I think that Catch 2-2 will win, if only to give hope to the U.S. side of things in terms of New Japan USA.
Makes sense. Dad?
You know, Bullet Club is starting to remind me of NWO all over again. NWO Red and Black, NWO this and that, Bullet Club this and that. I just think there's too many factions of Bullet Club, and I think there causes the conflict and infighting. So I got to go catch 2-2 to get the belts.
They're literally Bullet Club in three different companies right now. Like, literally. Isn't there Bullet Club in TNA, too?
Like, I was going to say, if you're being honest, we still got Bullet Club in WWE.
Oh, yeah, because I don't count them, though. I don't ever count them because they're still really not
Bullet
Club. They're
not on TV a lot. Yeah. Like, the club, like, yeah. Impact.
Finn Balor.
But yeah, Finn Balor, and then the quadrangle of AJ Styles, Mishin, and the boys.
Yes.
You have Bullet Club Gold. You can rotate. And there you go.
That is one of my favorite entrances, by the way, period, in wrestling right now. I love that entrance so much. I completely go nuts every time I see it. I miss Juice Robinson, because he made that entrance for me.
The beard and the screaming.
Yeah, he made it for me.
And of course, sign switch. Gotta love sign switch.
Yes.
He's like sign guy Dudley. And of course, you have regular OG Bullet Club. You have War Dogs.
How the Torture.
Bullet Club Rogue General.
Oh, Rogue General. Jesus Christ.
Bale Army. Yeah. Rogue Army, Bullet Club Gold, House of Torture. ABC.
Yep.
That's the one in Impact.
Impact/TNA, /TNA, whichever we're calling it today.
That's right. And then, of course, in AEW, you have not just Bullet Club Gold, but, like, the guys who were in Bullet Club that don't acknowledge it anymore.
Oh, yeah, like, exactly.
Adam Cole.
By the way, it cracked up Andy when I told her that Adam Page was in the Bullet Club. Like, what? What? Yeah. Really?
Everybody was. I think we were in the Bullet Club for a week. I don't remember.
It was him and the Young Bucks.
I remember, Cody was in the Bullet Club.
Cody was in the Bullet Club, and it turned into this weird...
The Elite. That's when the Elite started. That's actually when the Elite officially started, right? Like, during that.
Before the Elite, when it was the awkward Southern couple who invited you to their hotel room.
Yes!
Trying to seduce the Golden Lovers, and he's like, I'll love you better than he will. And I'm like, whoa, Cody, buddy, what is happening here? because I'm looking at Brandy, I'm looking at you. So which one of you want Kenny? Which one of you want Ibushi? Which one of you want Bo? Because it got weird. Like that triple threat for the IWGP title between Kenny and Cody and Ibushi, where he kissed both of them.
Yes, I remember that.
Like, all right, if you want to make out with him, make out with him. But don't make it a storyline. Don't just like cheapen it.
Damn, this sounds like a good script for a porno. Wow.
Well, it was like a fanfic gone right or gone wrong, depending on who's
reading. Oh, man. All right, let's move on.
Amell. I'm sorry, that's the last one. I forgot Stephen Amell was a member of the Bullet.
Yes. Stephen Amell, the one, yes.
I remember that. He was at All In. Freaking All In.
He was the special one that got in. Yes.
I remember that, too.
And to this day.
I still can't believe that.
I've seen Stephen Amell pop up in more pay-per-view live events for AEW than WWE.
He's actually talked about it in an interview once that he's still a Bullet Club member. He's actually talked about that one time recently. Like, recently he talked about it.
He's got to get the ring now. He's like, I'm still Bullet Club.
Well, it's like Dennis Rodman. It's like Dennis Rodman is still a member of the NWO. same mentality. Though. That happened. Well, I forgot what interview it was recently that it popped up on the bottom of the screen, former member of the NWO.
To get rid of that, they erased the former.
Wrapped me up.
NWO.
Oh, my God. All right, let's get back to this one.
Let's get back to this.
Where were we? All right, IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. It is Romu Takahashi, shocker, versus El Desperado. I feel like I could just start with Hiromu as champion almost every year. So, versus El Desperado. Rich, go ahead.
Yeah, it is the year 3000. Robots ever placed this doing everything. Hiromu Takahashi is defending the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title against a local alien. In this case, what happened was these guys mixed and matched throughout the Junior Tag League and throughout that time. And eventually, Hiromu does what Hiromu does and won the title. And they just called each other out. So it's a simple thing of, we have good matches, let's do this.
Fair enough.
And for me, I think that Hiromu as champion, again, two minds. If Tanahashi can still go, if Okada's not leaving, I think he should just retain and keep it moving. If you want to take that risk and move him into the heavyweight division like my man Shingo, he's bulky enough now you can let him sneak in. And you might want to have him drop it to Despy.
By the way, so, you said the year 3000. And the first thing that came to mind.
One day, when I came home at lunchtime, I heard a funny noise. Went out to the backyard to find out if it was...
The Jonas Brothers are doing the stadium series in Jersey, and I'm going to be there. So I have to, like, get my Jonas Brothers knowledge on, because I don't know many Jonas Brothers songs at all. But this is the first thing that came to mind just now. It is the year 3000.
You're going to be there on purpose?
I'm going to the stadium series. They're doing the pregame concert for the stadium series.
Okay.
I really have to take it for the hockey game. Like, what the hell do you want me to do here? Like,
wait a minute. The stadium series,
the Devil Fire game at MetLife.
Okay.
The one that me and talking about for 3 months. What are you talking about?
I thought maybe you were like a closet.
No.
Groupie or something.
No.
Okay.
I know like three Jonas Brothers songs, and one of them was the year 3000, which is why I pop into my brain.
You scared me for a second. I thought all of a sudden you were coming out of your big Jonas Brothers
song or something. But we're from Jersey. Okay. They are from Jersey. But like, that's why they're doing the stadium series.
Okay. Well, since we're, how you feel about T-Swift?
I don't care.
I don't care. Put up a little sign. Okay, nope, not today.
But no.
Blake's ringing.
By the way, Rich, seriously, me and Sal have had stadium tickets for 3 months. We've been talking about it on the show for 3 months. And Dad forgot we had tickets. We've been talking about it like, literally every week for 3 months. Like, the game is in 2 months. Like, yay. Anyway,
we had a hockey game and a concert broke out.
Something has to be in the freezing cold, like MetLife Stadium. It's going to be fucking crazy that night. By the way, I found out the game's going to be on ABC. The game's going to be on ABC, not TNT that night. So it's even bigger. It got bigger than I had announced. Like, wow.
Big time.
Anyway, back to this. Hiromu versus El Desperado. But did you actually say room was retained? I forgot what you said. I'm sorry. I got the chat.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
okay, sorry. Dad, I was looking for what did Dad say room was retained? Dad?
I'm going to say El Desperado makes a good attempt, but just falls a little bit flat. So Hiromu retains.
I expect a really good match, though. I do expect a really good match. A friend of mine just distracted me. She just texted me. Her husband and her daughter are going to WrestleMania in Philadelphia, and they just got T-shirts for the event, like just now. So she's just showing me a T-shirt for WrestleMania in Philly.
Someone's got some lucrative money.
Yeah, they live in Baltimore, so the two of them are going to this show.
Well, there you go.
So anyway, that just popped on my phone as we're talking. I swear I took my meds this morning. I swear. New Japan World Television Championship. Zack Sabre Jr. taking on Hiroshi Tanahashi. I'm not going to lie, this is going to be fun. This is one of those times where I almost lean towards Tanahashi to win, but then ZSJ kind of win the belt back almost like immediately. Rich, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm coming in the same boat. And this was a storyline that, much like Hiromu and Despy, Zach's been champion for a little bit. He just came out and said, you know what, Tanahashi, we got to fight. And Tanahashi's like, all right, I need to be on the show, so let's do this. And off they pop. I think that Tanahashi having the World Television Championship would be a fun experience and allow him to kind of slowly start his retirement tour in earnest.
Well, what's good about that, especially with his age, is short matches will help. Because they're not long matches. That'll help. Is it a 20-minute time limit? I forgot.
20 minutes.
20 minutes. It is 20 minutes. Cool. Dad, do you agree?
Yeah, I think putting the belt on Tanahashi would be a good thing. Especially if he's looking at the home stretch for retirement. If he does go that way, depending on how everything goes, I mean, I would want him, number one, to have minor injuries and stay relatively injury-free. But with what he does, it's very difficult to do that. So, hey, if this is the way he wants to go, let's go out with a blaze of glory and at least with a title around your waist.
Hey, Rich, I'll ask you right now. Tanahashi, is he in the G1 this year?
I think he is, and unfortunately, I think he gets somewhere between 4 and 7 points.
I was thinking this might be like the last, like almost last run in the G1 this year. That's what I was actually thinking.
I get you. I think he's going to get start. He's going to be put in that Nagata role where the longer they keep him in, the less points he's going to get, and the more sad it's going to be. So I hope for his sake, he decides like, hey, this is it.
He's like Suzuki last year, where he decided I'm going to go on a U.S. tour instead. which was fantastic. I'm not gonna lie, just have it just, you can just pop up in random places. Last summer during the G1 was absolutely amazing. So, all right.
I see Tanahashi doing a thing where he picks out his favorite opponents that he wants to wrestle, and he does this global tour, and he comes to the States.
That might be a bad idea.
I mean, if you want to do that, that'd be great.
I mean, if he popped up on like a GCW show like Suzuki did, I think people would tell like, oh shit, Tanahashi's in GCW? What the hell? I'm going to have to watch that. It's so weird. I have to watch it.
You never know, he could pop up in TNA.
I'm not, you know what? Okada's going to be in TNA. Like, anything's possible now. Anything's possible. Like, seriously. Like, the minute I saw that graphic.
Forbidden door.
I saw that graphic and I'm like.
The forbidden door is removed.
Yeah. When I saw Okada in a graphic with TNA wrestling, I'm like, okay, we're done. There's nothing left. I've seen it all. There's nothing left to do. We've done everything.
Forbidden door got removed. Don't worry about it anymore.
All right, moving on. IWGP Tag Team Championships. All right, so, okay, I even know the story about this one because of the complaining online. Bushimon, Roku Goto, and Yoshihashi, champions, they won the tag league as champions. And they got to apparently pick their opponent or something along those lines, but people were pissed because why did the champions win the tag league when it could have been anybody else? Because the tag league were supposed to face a champion here. And out came, and they picked Hikuleo and El Fantasmo. I have to ask, Rich, how often does the champions win the tag league? Because I don't recall this happening often.
It's been, especially with this crew, with Bishamon, it's happened two out of last three or three out of last 4 years.
Okay.
It's rare. So more often than I realize. These guys in particular. It's been pretty frequent. And usually I black out during the tag league because it's been so much of a drag with, like, they've let their tag leagues die. This one is also, it's listed as the IWGP Championship, but it's also winner takes all. So Hikuleo and El Fantasma's open weight tag championships are also on the line.
Oh, the so winner
leads with everything.
Oh, okay, 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 got it. Okay, that reminds me, because me and Dad had this discussion off the air when it came to New Japan Strong titles. Because obviously Eddie Kingston is on the line in the C2. Are they just getting rid of the strong titles at this point? Are we just slowly dissolving the strong titles because the show doesn't really exist anymore?
Yes. And they're also at the same time still wanting to expand internationally. And that's why, as we talk about one of the other matches coming up, we have a new title being created.
So yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that in a couple minutes. But no, I was just thinking, we were talking about that off the air. And I mean, we haven't brought that conversation to the air yet. Okay,
so are the strong titles token titles in that respect?
Well, not so much token, Mark. They got created during that time during the pandemic when people couldn't travel. So they wanted to have stakes for the New Japan Strong Show. What they didn't realize was they were going to have such a good relationship with AEW and Impact. So now they can use those North American-based promotions to highlight their folks in addition to having New Japan shows, in addition to having them pop up on indies. And so they don't necessarily need them as much as they did when they were creating those stories from 20 to 21, 22, say.
You know, this kind of reminds me of how way back when, where the wrestlers went to New Japan to basically hone their skills and then take those skills and come back to the States and land in a major organization. Now you've got the stars from New Japan that are coming in here, getting more notoriety and basically having a whole new different type of fan base, which is great.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that to the air because we talked about it off here and didn't have a chance to talk about it here. All right, well, you brought it up. Okay, well, actually, we didn't even talk about who's winning the title. We just talked about how he got here. is this simple as a retention, Rich, or do you think there'll be a title change here? The tag team titles, the change hands are opening them all the time. So I never know with this one.
I mean, Bishamon's had it for a while. They've had great matches. They were the only team that I watched all of their tag matches during the league because I thought they did a really good job. Much as I dislike Yoshihashi, I have to admit he's a pretty good wrestler, and him and Goto are a great team. I think that retention makes the most sense to kind of give them more flowers, especially if they're not going to do anything. Because Hikuleo by himself, Fantasmo by himself, they make more sense. Putting them in a tag team and locking them in like that doesn't make sense to me personally.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, I was more leaning towards retention anyway, but it's a tough one because they could do something weird and just have them like, let's have them win the titles for no reason whatsoever. And then at like New Year's Dash, Bushimon won them back. So it's like, they could do that. And it wouldn't be that far-fetched at all.
Because I thought that Hikuleo in the singles, I thought they were giving him a push to go for a major title. And all of a sudden, now you want to throw
him. I thought he looked great in the G1. I thought he looked great in the G1. So like.
Yeah. So, I mean.
But again, this could also be like we want to get him on the card and we have nowhere to put him.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
As this could be.
Especially with it being one night instead of two.
Yeah, exactly. I was just thinking as I'm sitting here, I'm like, this could be a situation where they want to take a layout on the card. They're out of singles matches, really, and they have a tag team title match. They might as well do this. So,
yeah.
That's literally the only thing I can think of why we're here.
Yep.
All right. We talked about it. Brand new title. It is the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship. And can I say, I realized I had champion down and it's no longer a champion because when I wrote this out, it was still the U.S. Championship. I loved how they got rid of the U.S. and U.K. titles by having David Finlay destroy them with a mallet. It was so fucking cartoon character thing. I cracked up laughing when I saw the video. I was like, this is like I have a fucking Looney Tunes cartoon. Like, who comes to a ring with a mallet? This is joint titles. Like, who does that?
I think David was channeling his inner Triple H.
So. No. The thing is, it was like a cartoon mallet. It wasn't even like a sledgehammer. It was like a cartoon mallet. It was closer to the Fiend than it would be It was more like The Fiend than Triple H.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, it was more that way than you think.
All right.
So, the match for the new, now the new IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship, it is Will Ospreay, Jon Moxley, and David Finlay. Sure, why not? Let's do this. Because it's the new title, and Ospreay, I think Ospreay is finishing his days in New Japan, and Moxley doesn't need to win a title. Is it as simple as this belt is here for Finlay to win, Rich?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's going to be here for him to win, probably at the expense of Ospreay. So one of those WWE three-way specials where Moxley hits the Death Rider on Ospreay, Finlay throws Moxley out of the ring, hops on the corpse of Ospreay, bing, bang, boom. The new champ, who is their Kidani, their CEO, mentioned they want the global championship to be defended outside of Japan and the IWGP World Championship to be defended in Japan, which makes zero sense to me, but I don't run the company.
By the way, I will say, I laughed when you said WWE finish. That didn't AEW literally have multiple title changes like that recently? Especially the women's, yep. the TBS Championship, didn't that happen recently? Like, so like, yeah, so trust me, it's not just WWE. Both AEWs did not work in WWE lately. So, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I almost think, like, you have the global championship at the secondary title like you used to have the IC title. Like, I thought that that's what they were doing, you know? Like, I didn't realize that there was going to be one of those things where they defend it everywhere else, which, again, makes absolutely no sense. Okay.
Well, would you consider this kind of like a play, like, with WWE and the new belt they created for Seth?
No, because that is a World Heavyweight Championship for Raw. This is literally going to be a, you win this title here, and then you defend it everywhere else. This is completely different from that. I know what you're saying, but this is completely different from that.
Okay, I just...
Yeah, it's weird, Mark. It's kind of like when they had Moxley with the U.S. title a couple of years ago, but they couldn't put the U.S. title on AEW television. And so you're like, what?
Well, then they could, and then he lost the title randomly to Lance Archer in that Texas Death Match for no reason. Like, it made no sense.
So, I'm guessing by putting a title on Finlay, you're keeping Finlay with New Japan for a while, so that way he doesn't, you know, kind of take his roots and go someplace else.
I think this is pretty...
Ospreay is not going to be with the company.
And to say that you won a match against Ospreay and Mox at Wrestle Kingdom to win a title... is a great bragging point of the heel. Oh my God, that's a great bragging point.
Not only can you say that you won, but you survived.
You survived, but you beat two literally of the best from now AEW and in the world to win a title at Wrestle Kingdom in the third most important match on the show.
Yep.
Like, that's a big deal. The very big deal.
Big feather in your cap.
All right, speaking of third most important, let's get to the second most important match on the show, and some people is the most important match on the show. It is Kazuchika Okada versus Bryan Danielson 2. The first one was phenomenal, but left Bryan injured. The second time they had a match, it left Bryan injured. And now here we are.
I'll come out and say it.
Go for it.
My thing is for Bryan to do this match with the injury he has and to go out full bore because he doesn't know how to go anywhere else. He doesn't go half speed. He goes full speed and goes nuts. I am very concerned on how the injury he's got is going to be re-aggravated and require more surgery down the road. So that's just my main concern.
I'm trying to figure out if he hasn't been able to fly much in the States because of this injury, the eye injury, how the fuck is he getting to Japan? Like, how is he doing this
shipping
match?
Container. I've been thinking about that for a while.
He's gonna take the train, that's it.
Thank you, that was great. That was fantastic, Rich. Thank you.
You're going to take the A-train downtown, that's it.
Oh, my God. So, you mentioned it earlier. Rich, you mentioned it earlier. Okada. Could this possibly be the last weekend of Okada in New Japan? Is it possible? I'm leaning towards it might be possible now. It feels a lot like when AJ Styles left New Japan, and then he shocked everybody in the Rumble. Like, that's what this feels like. My gut feeling makes it feel like that to me, because if the contract's expiring right before the Rumble, and you have Okada pop up in the Rumble in front of a crowd that knows who he is, holy fuck. And I know myself, I will completely mark the fuck out watching it if it happens.
Okay. All right. Well, my thing, and I don't want to play spoiler for anybody.
But well, no spoiler, but it's good. It's hard to say.
Okay. What about Okada popping up in AEW and him and Danielson continuing their feud back in AEW?
Do you really want to see Danielson die?
No, but... Knowing TK...
I know, I'm just saying, you really want to see Danielson die.
Knowing TK and how he wants to promote this and the big fanboy that he is, I can see him putting some, you know, lucrative coin to do this.
I understand that. As a fan of both of them, I would like them to not fight each other for a while after this, not just so that Brian can heal.
Just for about a year, hopefully. Like, yeah,
give Brian a break. You need to break after all this. Between the injury at Wrestle Kingdom at Forbidden Door, and then the new injury, and then being in the T2, after this match, he needs a break. He really does.
Let him go home, be a family man.
Just a little while,
I would say.
I was approaching retirement. He's approaching soon-to-be retirement and stuff like that. Anyway, well, light retirement, not retirement, because it's Sting retirement year. It's not Brian retirement year. But so that being said, yeah. With a possibility of Okada leaving, but Brian did beat him the first time. And I feel like the whole point of this rematch was to have Okada win. Is to symbolize Okada wins. Rich.
Yeah, I think because even if he is leaving New Japan, they're not going to job out one of their top guys on the promise that he might leave. And it isn't like a top guy in the sense of an AJ Styles or an...
No, this is the top guy.
This is their top homegrown, like, not native wrestler. So I think Okada's going to win. He's probably going to rainmake Danielson into Poughkeepsie. And then we'll have to put him back together, spackle him into a ship, and bring him on back to AEW.
I love how you went to Poughkeepsie when they're in Japan. That's hysterical to me. I'm not gonna lie.
I have to agree with Rich. You don't want when your top stars to kind of go out on a losing end. You want them to go on a winning end. Mm-hmm. And you know he Okada can have bragging rights on this. And no matter where he pops up, if he wants to say have a match, say. When Brian decides to hang it up, I would say this would be the nice farewell retirement match they have with me, Brian, and Okada.
I'm going to throw out a theory because I mentioned Okada in the Rumble. You can ask Dad. I told the story on the air a couple of times, but I'll tell him the story because Christian is amused by this every single time I tell the story. When we were at the Forbidden Door Go Home Show, the first Forbidden Door, and we were at the Go Home Show here in Milwaukee. It was here. And Okada came out, and we didn't know he was going to be there. And that music, and the coin flip hit, and I lost my fucking mind. Because we were sitting right by the entrance ramp. And I lost my mind. Like, I lost my voice. Like, yeah. I completely lost my voice during that entrance because I did not expect to hear that music in that environment. And Christian looks at me like, holy shit, I've never seen you like that before. Like, ever. Never seen you react like that.
I'm telling you. When that happened, that was like the best kept secret in AEW. Because
that night, especially.
I didn't hear any leaks, nothing.
Yeah, and that was great. But if he showed up in the fucking Rumble, I don't know what I'm gonna do because that's really unbelievable. But I'm gonna throw out there my prediction now that it's here. If they really want to do this right, and you really want to have people go absolutely fucking crazy, you do it near the beginning of the Rumble and make sure Nakamura is in that ring. If Okada's going to be the image, Nakamura is in that ring. Because that would be fucking insane.
My lord.
Yeah, so I just ran it out there as a little bit of a fan theory. There you go.
To have them both in the ring.
Knowing how close they are, too, knowing you're like best friends makes it even better. Like, so. All right.
And Shinsuke's been spreading rumors.
Good.
Well, not spreading rumors. Shinsuke's been dropping hints like, I will spread chaos in the WWE. And that would be to have chaos members, Shinsuke Nakamura, and AJ Styles would just be like, he's here. He's here and he's wonderful.
Yeah. Trust me, if they do this moment right, that building will be so fucking hot. It'd be amazing. Especially if you decide to just randomly do Okada Tanahashi at WrestleMania in Philly. Because you could do that. Because you could totally do that. So.
Oh, man.
It's just going out in my brain. As I'm talking this out, it's just happened to my brain as an idea.
The possibilities are just endless.
All right. Let's get to the main event. The match that's been set since the G1. The most anticlimactic ending to a G1 ever. IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. It is Tanahashi taking on Tensei Naito. You can feel my excitement in my voice when I say that match.
Yeah.
From how much excitement I have with talking about Okada, Brian. And here we are with Naito Tanahashi.
You're so excited. I got to tell you to calm down. Okay?
I know. I vented about this after the G1 on the air.
Go ahead.
That was the most anticlimactic ending to a G1 ever. It was so anticlimactic. So here we are. It's Tanahashi Naito. Rich, what the hell is going on here? What is happening? Is Tanahashi losing the title?
Yes. And looking at what your second question, what's happened is this is a year too late. Last year was the year that Naito said specifically, I need to win it this year. I want to wrestle. I want to give this opportunity. Even if I don't win the title, I want to be able to prove I can do this. They don't do it. Now he is in the final. He wins it. He's wrestling Sonata. He just had the surgery. He's another one. We got back-to-back matches where someone's going in with a bad eye, where a doctor has said, maybe you shouldn't do this. And the doctor told him, you get 3 surgeries. This is the third. After this, if your eye starts to degenerate again, it's over. I can't fix it. And he was originally going to get that third surgery when he retired. Instead, he didn't wait. I hope after this win, he has maybe a couple more matches this year and he retires, because Naito needs, he deserves it after his illustrious career. Sonata, one of my dear sons, I have been supportive, maybe to a fault, like all parents are, as people have poo-pooed his IWGP title run, but it has been underwhelming. They tried it. It didn't work. I know Brian Alvarez compared it to Jinder Mahal. I will not.
No. I would never compare. As much as it's been underwhelming, I would never compare. No way.
That is a terrible comparison.
That's an awful comparison. Yeah, it's terrible.
You know, my thing is, I think with Sonata, with Okada leaving, I think they want to fill that void.
If he leaves. If he leaves. Let's throw that out there. Continue. Yeah.
Well, okay. I think they want to fill that void, but I don't think Sonata is the guy that can actually do it. I'm torn with Sonata, because seeing him from where he's started to where he's at now, yeah, he's made a vast improvement, but he's not generating the fan base that they would hope to have, and I think that's just it. I don't know what to do to make him more popular or exciting or anything like that. I mean, if he changed the storyline, if he changed the character, if
but it's just 4 or 5 guys, depending on the month.
You know, I mean, yeah, I see Sonata, you know, hanging on to the belt and hoping that they do good things with it, but I don't think he's going to be hanging on to that belt for a long time.
I'll go with what Rich said. And Tete Naito wins the title here. He gets his big, because he never really got the big celebration of the kingdom, because the last time he won it, he got crushed by Kenta. So he never got his big celebration. So this is how you do it. You redo it. You have him win. Everyone goes nuts. And then, using Rich's logic, if all is failed, you have him drop it by Dominion. And then you get somebody pushed by Dominion, somebody big, to bring the belt from him then.
Or one of the youngins.
Yeah, you
have several of the youngins that have been cooking, and they're ready to kind of percolate.
Exactly. Somebody like that, you do something like that for Dominion. And we'll all circle back for Dominion and figure out if they do that or not.
Okay, I'll throw a name in right now. Hikuleo.
Yeah. Maybe. There's also like Garen
Dorita. I think you got Hikuleo, you got Shota Umino.
Kamuno, yes.
You got
Pretty much all the young boys, all the youngins that were in the G1. That whole like the whole C block.
Right. Right.
So all right, well,
I mean,
yeah.
That's all that can be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is Wrestle Kingdom 18, and that is the way we end our year again, talking about Wrestle Kingdom. By the way, it was funny. Like I said earlier, I was doing some stuff behind the scenes, and literally 2 years ago, Rich was on the show on the last show of the year talking about Wrestle Kingdom, and here we are again doing it all over again. So that being said, before I hit the music to close out, since Sal is not here.
My thing is, and this is, you know, I think New Japan has now gotten a broader fan base in the States as the stars have made an appearance, and with the New Japan World app and everything else, I think you're going to see more people have more interest in New Japan.
Hopefully.
And get more popular than what it is.
Well, on that positive note, let's hit this, because Sal is not here.
For more information on our show, including where you can find us on social media or watch the show on YouTube, go to theblakeandsalshow.com. Don't forget to comment or leave a rating and review, and we will read it on the show.
We're going to close out with a song that's out of a special song. It's actually Naya Rivera. There's a name I haven't said in a very long time. And in the reuniting cast of Glee, they did this. They actually brought back an old song that Naya Rivera recorded that was never released, called "Prayer for the Broken," and they released it. They re-released it for charity. A bunch of the cast from Glee did background vocals for it. It's an absolutely gorgeous song. So I'm going to play it, and it counts as a stream that goes to charity. I do suggest you go find it and stream it. It's a really, really good song, especially if you were a big fan of Glee back in the day. All right. That being said, Dad, say your thing.
Hey, it's always been your pleasure, and if you happen to have a local independent wrestling organization where you live at, please patronize these people. These are the young men and women coming up in the sport of pro wrestling, sports entertainment. They want to show you what they can do. They want to show you the character that they are having. They want to show you how good they are with their wrestling skills and their promo skills. They want the whole package, and they want to do this by entertaining you as best they can so they can get to that next echelon, the brass ring in a major company, so they can be superstars. And they can only do that by you patronizing them, and do it responsibly and act like adults, don't act like assholes, please.
You've just got more blunt with that now.
That's okay.
Oh, man. Rich, plug away. Go.
I'm thick-skinned.
Well, thank you as always. If you like what you heard from me chatting with Mark and Blake, feel free to follow me on Twitter at @rich_fan. I don't know how long I'll be there, but I'm here. On the podcasting side of things, Pro Wrestling Torch is where I hang my hat. I do columns once a month, as well as podcasts every week with Wade Keller, editor, publisher. Everything with Rich and Wade, as well as the Everything Mailbag with my buddy Josh Mustachio. East Coast Cast, which is where I think Blake and Sal kind of first found me through Travis.
Yep.
And Cam and all those fun dudes. You can also listen to me there. And then, as well as with Will Cooling on The Deep Dive with Rich Van and Will Cooling. Last but certainly not least, last few years I've been having a pretty cool relationship, and now I'm on board over at Post Wrestling as well, where I do MCU Later, where myself and my co-host W.H. Park review anything through the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Nice. Very exciting. That's very exciting. By the way, Rich, it's funny. That three people we found on the show regular all came from the East Coast Cast. It was you, Trav, and Kurt Hoffman. From that world. So, all right. Next week, I'm Sally back, and we will be doing our traditional year-end show. Looking back at 2023, looking ahead to 2024, and seeing how bad we did in our wrestling predictions. So go back and come and join us next week for that. That being said, thank you all for joining us in the end of 2023. Thank you, Rich, as always, for coming on. We'll have to get you on more than once next year. And thank you all for listening. I'm Blake.
I'm Mark.
And you've been listening to The Blake and Sal Show with Mark. Have a good day, everybody.
Hey, we love you guys. And remember, the veto ties! Broken for those who are afraid.
thank you so very much. Goodbye, mwah, and good night.
Bye-bye, bitch.